We're going to begin discussing Sisif, the Miswal Sisif. How, what constitutes Sisif? How does one make them? How many strings do you need? What color strings? And eventually how to tie them, etc. We shall start now with the Aruch HaShulchan, Siman Yod Aleph, Seif Teth. Miswal Sisif, he, likach haba hutim arukim ulatohavan b'chanaf atalif. The Miswal Sisif, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is to take four long strings, to put them into a hole, ulatohavan b'chanaf atalif, in other words, literally to stick them into the kanaf, the edge or the corner of the talif, uchishiyotziem yanekev shebakanaf yu shmona chutim. When you take, pull them through the hole, therefore they'll be double them over. You have eight strings now, correct? Ve'yikashvem b'shnei kshalim lemala etzel hakanaf, and you should tie two knots, a double knot in other words, right there at the beginning, next to the corner of the garment. Ve'achar kach yichroch chut ehad mi'ashmona chutim she'oseh otha aruka yoter mikulam, and then you should take one of those eight strings, which is should be longer than the others, and wind it around the other seven. Ve'chorech otha al shiv'a hanisharim, the miksaf ahut, in other words, that was part of the eighth string you use, which is longer than the others, you use to tie around the other seven. Wazeh anikra gevil, and this part of the tzitzit which you make by winding the eighth around the other seven, that is called the gevil. The word gevil, by the way, means something which is plaited or knotted together. In other words, ropes or strings or what have you, of all kinds, for all purposes, when they're plaited together, knotted together in some way to make something thicker and intertwined, that's called the gevil. Okay, that's what the word means. It comes from the word, of course, as you can see plainly, the shoresh is gimel dalad lamed, gadal, gidel, right? Legadel means to increase the size of the string of the rope by intertwining it, by plaiting it, etc. Right? How do you make rope? You take a few smaller ropes, smaller strings, and you plait them and twine them together and twist them together to make a bigger, thicker rope. So you megadel, you increase the size of the string by this process, and that's the process of gidul, and that which results is called the gidul. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan continues, that's what he says here, was there any kara gidul klomar shegovelam biyachad, because you twine them, you increase their size and make them wider and thicker and fatter, these strings, by doing this, by twisting them and intertwining them and plaiting them, ushareh hutin magdil ule Migadil ulamata nikveim pathil. And the other strings, Vushar Shareahutim, Migadil ulamata nikveim pathil. The rest of the strings which are let loose, to allow to hang freely, which are not tied together, that is called the pathil. So now we know two terms. We've learned two terms. We have the, just for argument's sake, we have the, this is the gadil, and this is the pathil. Okay? The word pathil simply means a string or a thread. That's what the word pathil means. Right, sami gadil ulemata nikraim pathil. The pathil hu keshekol hut hu bifne atzmo, when every string is separate. That's called pathil. Kamo she tirgem onkelos al pathil techeleth huta de techelta. Right, onkelos translates, as we will see, pathil techeleth in the Torah, huta de techelta. In other words, pathil means a string, a separate string. V'chama hu gedil, and how much of the tzitzit has to be gedil, has to be made in this way, and how much pathil is something we'll discuss presently. Yithbe'er lefanenu. V'chenu oseh b'chol kanaf v'chanaf, and this is what you do in each of the four corners, mi'ha'ar back and forth. U'va'et shayat tcheret, and when there was tcheret, says the Aruch HaShulchan, hayu, take note, hayu shnei chutei lavan, there were two strings of white, or misemer, or mepishtan, either made of wool, or of linen, ushnechu tet techeleth, and two strings of techedek. In other words, you begin with the four strings, you begin two white and two techedek, says the Rosh Hashulchan. Well, the Rambam, and according to the Rambam, shlosha chutei levan, three of white and one of techedek. Vaya korechba, and with that fourth one, you do the tying. You make the gedil, you do the tying around the others. And now that we don't have Techeleth, says the Aruch HaShulchan, this was written, of course, keep in mind, 80 plus years ago, probably. And that is these concepts and these central parameters of the Miswa, that you have to have strings. If you have Techeleth, some are white and some are Techeleth. And if you don't, then you make them all white. Everyone agrees to that, just for the moment. If you have no Techeleth, you make them all white. That's agreed. That's Pashut. And that you need to make part of the Tzitzit, Gevil, and another part, Pathil. This is all, these are the Ikar, in other words, the basic parameters, the basic rules of Tzitzit. You have a question, Yaakov?
Yeah, Ruch HaShulchan quotes the Rambam. What does he mean by this? He's saying this Rambam is Cholet for me, or he's saying this is another Rel Shita, or...
He's simply pointing out that there's one Shita, which he hasn't even given, hasn't specified by name who this is exactly, that there is one Shita that when you have Techeleth, you start off with two Lavan, two Techeleth,
right.
And the Rambam says three Lavan and one Techeleth.
So he hasn't said whether it's a valid Shita or not. He's just saying it's a Shita.
He's just telling you there's two Shitoth.
Understood.
He's just giving you two Shitoth. Now, in Seif Yod, the Aruch HaShulchan explains a little bit more. In other words, he just told you in Seif Tet, he gave you the broad outline. Okay? He sketched the notion, the idea, the concept of Seif for you in broad strokes. Now he gives you some background. Where he gets this from? He says in Seif Yod, V'chol zeh mefurash b'Torah. All this is mefurash in the Torah. Dichtiv, and this you have on your source sheets in front of you. This is in Dvarim, in Perekaf Beth, Pasuk Yod Beth. So it's source number 2 on your source sheet. So the Rosh Hashulchan says, V'chol zeh mefurash b'Torah, Dichtiv gavilim, ta'aseh lach al arba kanfot kesutecha asher techaseh ba. It says gavil. Gavil means at least two. Gavilim, ארבע, עשה גביל ופותלהו מתוכו. תפחות משניים אי אפשר לקרוא גביל, דאין חיבור בפחות משניים. In other words, if you want to take, you want to make something stronger and thicker, you have some string, shall we say, the first thing you can do is to take one and take another and twist them around one another, correct? By twisting one around the other, you've made a thicker, stronger piece of string, correct? You take two ropes, you twist one around the other, correct, in such a fashion that it holds, it remains in this manner, that it remains twisted around one another, the other, it will be stronger than the single. That's called, that is the minimal gavil that you can produce. You can't make anything with one string. You need two at the minimum. When it says, therefore, gavilim, it's telling you it's not enough to have two, it has to be twice that, alright? So therefore, not two, but four strings. We'll see presently, this is only one opinion. But you need, therefore, at least four strings to make gevilim. In other words, a double gevil. A single gevil, the minimum for a single gevil is two strings. Because you can't twist less than two. Fewer than two. To make a double gevil, you can't have less than four. Likora. So therefore, you need to have four strings, he's explaining. Mm-hmm. It says gevilim. Harekan arba'a. Chutim. So therefore you need four strings on each kanaf, each corner, which you will then turn into gevilim. When you double them by putting them through the hole, in other words, the loose strings which hang down, and they're part of the gedil. In other words, they're all in the gedil, and then at some point the gedil ends and the strings continue. In other words, there's not two separate entities which you sew together. In other words, you don't take a gedil and you take some other strings and you somehow, you could sew them together or something. But you don't do that. The pithilim are supposed to be part and parcel of the gedil as well. Okay? The single strings, the separate strings, are supposed to be part of the gedil. As he explains, I say gedilu faflehu mitocho shiu teluyim pethilim klomar hutim shelo yaase kulo gedil el aksat gedilu ksat anaf. Anaf is another term for pethil. In other words, like the branches of a tree, which are separate, which spread out as separate branches. These are like the anaf, the separate strings. Okay, so you have the gedil and you have the pethil or the anaf. And in the tisit, you need both these things. Wa'ainu pethil shebe parasha parashat tisit. ומזה מבואר שמקסף חוטין יהיה גדיל ומקספו פתיל. ומדין תורה אין עיכוב כמה יהיה גדיל וכמה פתיל. In other words, from these two parashiyot, well, I'll go through this in a moment again, we look at the psukim more carefully. From these two parashiyot, we have two psukim in the Torah which refer to the Mishwar Sisif. One talks about gedilin, the one talks about pethil techeleth, it talks about sisif. The word sisif also, by the way, implies separate strings. Just like hair, each hair is separate, correct? And it speaks in the Pasuk about Sisith Roshi, in other words, the hair of my head. So you have Sisith and Pathir, which implies separate strings, and you have the word Gedil in another Pasuk, which implies strings tied together. So we understand that we need in the Mishwar Sisith both a Gedil and a Pathir. And the Torah doesn't specify how much of this and how much of that. In other words, what length, what percentage of the whole length should be gedil, how much should be pethil, doesn't say so. That's what he says here. Beruch HaShulchan, ומדינת תורה, אין עיכוב כמה יהיה גדיל וכמה פתיל. וכך אמרו חזר למנחות, אם קרח רובה, כשרה. ולהפך, אפילו לא קרח בה, אלא חולי אחת כשרה. So it says מפרש in גמרא מסכת מנחות, what we just said, that even if you made almost the entire length of the sisif gedil, and you left just a tiny amount at the bottom loose, it's kasher. And also vice versa. You made a tiny amount of the top gedil and the rest is all loose and not tied together. It's also kasher. So in the Torah, there's no shi'ur. It's not ma'akev. Ach noy ha-sisit she'yeh shlish gedil u'shne shlishe anaf. Chazal would kovea, we see this in the Gemara, we'll discuss this in another shi'ur. Chazal gave the shi'ur of making the sisit shlish gedil, shne shlish anaf, or petil. So one third the tied together section, two thirds the rest. Okay? This is a general introduction of the Aruch HaShulchan gives. Now, what we're going to do now is look at the source sheet in front of you. And first we'll look at the psukim and understand the psukim a little bit better. We have Parashat Tisit, of course, which is source number one on your source sheet, Bamidbar Perek Tetwal, at the end of the beginning of Parashat Shlishit, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayom Adonai Moshe Limor. Daber b'nei Yisrael amata lehem u'asu lehem sisit am kanfeh v'yigvehem l'dorotam. Again, the word sisit means loose strings. Venathanu al sisit hakanaf, and on this sisit, on these strings of the kanaf, of the end, the bottom edge, the hem of your garment, you should place a pethil techelet. The word pethil is in the singular, it means a string. As onklos is mitargem, as we said, chuta de techelta, a string of techelet. So the Torah is telling you to make sisith, which hang down from the kanaf, and on that, and you must add to these strings a pethil of techelet, a string of techelet. Wahaya lachem lesisith, which is in the singular. In other words, these two things, mashma, both the sisith and the techelet together, are now called one thing. Wahaya lachem in the singular, the sisith. Uvitem otho uzachatem kom isvot avomai wa'asitem otho ulofathuru ahare levachem ahare enichem ashaten zonim ahareh. Alright, so the Torah used two terminologies, sisith and pethil. The next source number two, from Dvarim Kaf Beth, Pasuk Yud Beth, states, Gevilim ta'aselach ala bak anfuth kesudachar shatechaseba. This is the other parasha, and it uses a different terminology, Gevilim. So now we've understood that we need these two aspects, Tefil and Gevir. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan was explaining, that these concepts come directly from the Psukim in the Torah. But already from the Torah you see that you need these two elements in the Tzitzit. You need the Gevir and you need the Tefil. You need the tied section and the untied section. Now, source number three, you have in front of you the Sifre. Sifre is Midrash Halakha, of course, on Sefer Bamidbar. Piska Kof Tethwal. There are different aspects here of the Sifre that we will look at in this and perhaps coming Shiurim. If you look about the fifth or sixth line, it says Wa'asulahem Sisith. You see that? The Sifre that you have there? Wa'asulahem Sisith. En Sisith Ela Davar Hayosei. You got that? What is being said here by Chazal? En Sisith Ela Davar Hayosei. Everyone got that? What does that mean? Sisif means something which hangs down or comes out of something else. It emerges from something else, like the hair of your head. It emerges from your scalp, and then it separates. And it starts in one place, and then it spreads out. That's what the word sisif means, something which comes out of something else. So explain the concept. The Midrash Halakha here is explaining the concept. What does the word sisif mean? And sisif era davar hayoseh. Wadavar kol shuhu. And not only that, from the fact that the Torah just says sisit, it doesn't give a shiur, it doesn't say how long, how much. Minat Torah, therefore, davar, it's kol shuhu. In other words, any length is sufficient. In other words, minat Torah, there's no specific length or specification regarding the sisit. Any kind of strings which come out of the corner at the end of the beged is considered sisit minat Torah. There was once a discussion between the Zikinim of Beth Shammai and Beth Hillel in the attic of Yonatan ben Bethera. So on this occasion they mentioned that both Sisit and Lulav have no Shi'ur. In other words, there's no specific length. However, what is clear regarding Sisita will become clear in this shiur and other shiurim. Regarding Lulav, we've also discussed it in the past. We know that there is a shiur mentioned in Halakha, minimal length for Lulav. There's also minimal length for Sisit. So what is being said here is Minat Torah. No, well, there's no shiur Minat Torah. There's no minimal shiur Minat Torah. That's what's being said. Minat Torah, Lulav can be this big also. Chachamim said it has to be at least 3 tefachim, which is not very big. It's also only about that much. But it can even be even smaller. Sisif also can be very, very short. Even this long, maybe, alright? Chazal later gave the shiur, said, let's say, it has to be this long, b'seda. So they gave it a certain minimum. But minat Torah, there's no minimum. Okay? So this, the Midrash Halakha here is referring to Din Torah. Explaining the demands of the Torah regarding Sisif. And therefore there is basically, there is almost no demand. There has to be sisif. Sisif are strings that come out, that emerge from the end of the beged. We haven't discussed how many strings. We just know there have to be strings. And we know that there's no particular length that these strings need to be. The next statement in the Midrash Halakha in the Sifre, Wa'asulahem sisif. They shall make sisif on their garment. Shome'ani, from this I can understand, Ya'aseh hut ehad b'fnei asmo. So, sisif is something that comes out of something else. Maybe one string is enough. It doesn't say sisiyot, it says sisif. Maybe one hut will also be sufficient. I could take a hole and put one string, or whatever, or somehow have it come out of the beggar. Maybe one string is enough. When it says sisif, it's not clear from the word sisif that it has to be more than one. Maybe one is enough. In other words, just person has little hairs, maybe he has one hair coming out of his head. It's also sisif rosh. So he has less on his head than someone else, but he has, that's what he has. That's his sisif rosh. As it says with regards to Yechezkel. We kahani the sisif roshi, it says. So some people have more hair, some people have less. But if you have a hair, that's your sisif. So you have one string, that's also maybe a sisif. So the Midrash says no. That's not so, because it says in Dvarim, Tamud Lomar, Gevilim. Gevilim cannot be one, because Gevilim has to be, first of all, it's in the Rabbim, but the word Gevil itself, even if it says Gevil, Gavil has to be at least two strings, the minimum has to be a string tied to two things at least, as we're about to see. So it says, Mikama Gavilim Ata Oseh. In other words, how many strings do you need to make the Gavil? In other words, to make this plaited section, this tied, twisted section, called a Gavil. En Pachot Mishlosha, Divrei Beth Hillel. En pachot mishlosha divrei Beth Hillel. You need to have three strings, according to Beth Hillel. Not four. Without it, you can get away with three strings. That's the minimum. You can also have more. No one says you can't have more. But you must have at least three strings. Beth Shammai Amrim shlosha shel semer, because why a semer? Because semer here means lavan. It doesn't matter now, right now, whether it's tzemer or pishtim. We're assuming that the beged is made of tzemer, and therefore the strings are also made of tzemer. But tzemer means natural, raw wool, which is not dyed. That's what it means. Shlosha shel tzemer, urivi'eith shel tocheret. And the fourth one should be made of tocheret. Tocheret, by the way, is also a tzemer, but it's not called tzemer because it's dyed tzemer. Dyed tzemer is called, if it's dyed tocheret, it's called tocheret. If it's dyed argaman, it's called argaman. It's not called tzemer. Understand? It's a generic term. So tzemer means raw, undyed wool. As pishtan means raw, undyed pishtan. Techeleth means wool that was taken and dyed techeleth. Argaman means argaman that was taken and dyed argaman. V'chula, okay? As you see here. Bet Shammai Amrim, Shiroshah Shel Tzemer, Ulvi'it Shel Techeleth. V'halacha Kebet Shammai, it says here. It says here in the Braitha, Halacha Kebet Shammai. And that is, in fact, what all of Am Yisrael does.
Because usually the halakha is according to Beth Hillel.
Well, that's why it says here that it's not so. That's why it's telling here that's not the case. Here the halakha is like Beth Shammai. The question is, when it says halakha ke Beth Shammai, is that a psak halakha ke Beth Shammai? Or is it saying that's what we do, but if you do three, you will also say Bechova. Or maybe it's saying it's preferable, but it's not Ma'akev.
What did Shulchan say earlier? Took from the Gemara Masechet Yevamot, which needs to be looked at separately. The simple pshat, it seems to me, of the Sifrei here, is that Minat Torah minimum is three, and Beth Shammai Mosif one, because Gavil is understood like what we call English a plat. How do you plat here? How do you go plat here?
Three.
You can't do less than three. You can do more, but you can't do less than three. Right, you take hair divided into three strands, and then you start flapping, correct? And then you get a flap. Three, a braid. That is the minimum. You can't do less than that. So according to that, the shlosha is the minimal shiur minat Torah.
Let's recap. We saw in the Sifre. We have two shitof. It says, Kama gedelim ata oseh, en pachot mishlosha divrei Beth Hillel. The simple pshat, I think, is, as we said before, to make a braid you need three, and gavil is a kind of, it means a braid or something like a braid, and therefore you can't have less than three. So Beth Hillel is saying three is a minimum. Beth Shammai Amrim Shlosha Shel Tzemer Urvi'it Shel Techelet. Halacha Kebet Shammai. Maybe this is, it could be. There's more than one possibility of how to understand Beth Shammai. Beth Shammai may say as follows, you need three, which is the minimum for a braid, from the chutim that are not techeleth, and on top of that you have to have a pethil techeleth. That's why you need a fourth. Understand? In other words, the braid has to be without techeleth. So therefore you need three by themselves to make a braid, to make a gavil, and the pethil techeleth is a separate string. It says pethil techeleth, so it's an addition to the gavil, so to speak. That could be what Beth Shammai means. This has been discussed by different mefarshim, but at least, you see, this is the shita. Now, what do I want to mechadesh, possibly, on this inyan? In Ilchot Hanukkah, in the Rav Ya, the Sefer Rav Ya is a very well-known Sefer of one of the greatest of Chachmei Ashkenaz, Ben Eliezer, Rabbi Yoel HaLewi, who served as a basis for almost all the Pesukim in Ashkenaz after him. The Rosh often, for example, the Rosh often quotes the Rav Ya, which is this book here, without even mentioning it necessarily by name. Talking about Ilchot Hanukkah, we find in the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. It says there, Tnora Banan, Miswaf Hanukkah, Ishu Veitho. The Miswaf Hanukkah is to light a candle for every home. One candle per night is the minimum. You can light one candle every night for 8 nights, and the candle of the Miswaf near Hanukkah. Hamahadrim Ner Lechol Echad Ve'Echad. The Mahadrim light a candle per person. Mahadrim Min Hamahadrim light a different number every night. Okay? And then it talks, and then there's a discussion in the Gemara whether you start with 8 and go down to 1, or start with 1 and go up to 8. Nachon? Beth Shammai says you start with 8 and you go down to 1. And Beth Hillel says you start with 1 and go to 8. What does the Rav Yah say about this? Beth Hillel omrim yom rishon madlik ner ehad mikar melach musif. So Beth Hillel says musif v'olech, Beth Shammai omrim pochet v'olech. The Rav Yah says something interesting. He says, v'nahagu ha'am kevet Hillel. Am Yisrael is noheg like Beth Hillel. What does that mean? Am Yisrael is noheg like Beth Hillel. We do everything like Beth Hillel, no? And it's not even a minhag, it's a chova. Lichora, no? There was a bath call, and there was a psak, the Sanhedrin was posek this way, lichora, apparently. So what do you mean, ha'am nahag kevet Hillel? So when I learned this once, I understood what I think I understand what the Rav Yah is trying to say. The Rav Yah is saying, this is a minhag. If we do like Beth Hillel on such a thing as this, this is only a minhag. It's not mikoach ha'gzera or psak. And it's not because of the bath call, it's a minhag, the sacha call. Why? Because everyone's modeh. Beth Shammai is also modeh. If you light the candles like Beth Hillel, you are makem the miswa. And Beth Hillel modeh, if you light like Beth Shammai, you are makem the miswa. In other words, whether you start with 8 and end with 1 or vice versa, kwa maskinim shta makem et hamiswa. In other words, this is not a question of isur and heter. This is a question of, you can do it either way, betzen. This one suggests, prefers this way, the other one suggests, prefers the other way. But it's only a preference. It's not a psak halacha. It's not like when Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel disagree about, shall we say, the shi'ur of food necessary to make eruv tavshilin. So there's a real difference in the quantity. Bet Shammai says you have to have this much, and Bet Hillel says you have to have much less. That's a practical distinction, halachically, and Bet Shammai says that. Like what Beth Hillel says is not sufficient. That you can't make an Eruv with that. If you did, it wasn't Eruv. Beth Hillel would agree. If you use twice as much as I say, it's also what I agree. And that's what Beth Shammai says. So he would agree that Beth Shammai, she was also good, but vice versa, Beth Shammai wouldn't agree. In this case, everyone agrees. But it doesn't make a big difference either way. So if we happen to be Noheg, or we act like Beth Hillel, it's not Mikoach Halacha that we have to act this way, like normally is the case. But here's because we are noheg that way, because it's a minhag. So I understand what the Rav Yah is saying. The relevance of this to our discussion is very simply the following. That we see here in the Sifrei, that it says that according to Beth Shammai, you need Shlosha Shel Semer Urevi'it Shel Techelet, and then it adds Walacha Kebeth Shammai, which is against the rules. So okay, whether it's halacha or not, the fact is, Am Yisrael is noheg like Bet Shammai. That's true. Nachon. Why is Am Yisrael noheg like Bet Shammai and Tzitzit? Precisely for this reason, because Be'etzem, you would be a Tzedo Chava if you did it like Bet Hillel also. But Am Yisrael chose to add an extra string and have 4 instead of 3. In other words, maybe because I thought it was looked nicer, or the gedil is more yafeh, is thicker, or whatever. Maybe because if you use 4 rather than 3, or what have you. In other words, I don't think it's so obvious. Even though it says here halacha kebet shemai, it could say halacha kebet shemai in the bright and the sifrei, but the halacha still might not be that way. The halacha might be that we go like Beth Hillel. And this happens in different sources. You have a bright which says halacha kebet shemai, and we don't act that way. But on certain occasions, in certain things we do. Here, I think this is a case where we're talking about something which is a minhag, and Am Yisrael is noheg like Beth Shammai. No, it's not a chovah like Beth Shammai, but it's a minhag like Beth Shammai, that we use 4 strings.
How would you say to Israel, ignore the pasuk that seems to be in the
Tehillah? I don't understand. Beth Hillel says you shouldn't have Tehillah? Beth Hillel says not to have techele. Beth Hillel says you make a gavil of 3, you start with 3 strings, okay, and you make a gavil of 3, one of them is techele and 2 are levan. Beth Shammai says no, 3 levan and 1 techele. Okay. So we see there's a discussion about how many strings. According to the Braitha here, it says halacha kebet shamai. It could be, according to the explanation I just gave, it's not so much a halacha, but it's a minhag at least, allowing yourself to do like Beth Shammai. One way, either way, we see that the mitziyut is, Am Yisrael is noheg like Beth Shammai. Correct? That much we see. We have, therefore, the opinion of Beth Shammai, which is what we do. Three lavan, revi'it shetchelet. Now, what does that mean? Shalosh lavan, revi'it shetchelet. What does that mean? Three of Lavan, Lichora, Shlosha Shel Lavan is clear. Shlosha Shel Semer means three strings which are completely white, raw wool. Revi'it Shetchelet, the simple pshat is that the whole of the fourth string is Techelet, nachon? That's a simple pshat. But, we see there's a machloket on this issue. To prove to you that this, there's a discussion on this, for this here I will quote the Rambam briefly. The Rambam says, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Yisrit, Halacha Wow. The Rambam says that you take four strings, so you see he's going like Beth Shammai also. Well, yeah, had mishmonat achotim. After you put them through the hole, and then it doubles over, so you end up with eight strings now, correct? He says, yeah, had mishmonat achotim, hut techelef, wahashiv'a lavan. Seven out of the eight are white, and one is techelef. How do you do that? Obviously, by dyeing half of the fourth string to chelet, correct? Half of the length, not the whole length, half of the length. Then, when you put it through the hole, now you double them over, you end up with eight strings, and you have one, which is to chelet, correct? The Ravad disagrees. The Ravad immediately says that this is not so. When the Rambam says that one of the eight is to chelet and seven are lavan, the Ravad says, Ta'uf hu zeh. This is a mistake. Ela, hashnaim shetchelet wa hashisha levanim. When you're talking, looking at the eight that you now have, when you put it through the hole, says the Ravad, no, you have two tchelet, which means it was originally one string, but now you double over, and six levan, and six white strings. So we see there's a difference here. Now, the simple pshat, it seems to me, from the Sifre, is clearly not like the Rambam, and it clearly is like the Ravad. Because the lashon of the sifre is very simply shlosha shel semer or shlosha shel lavan urivi'if shel tchelet. That's what it says, nechon? Have a look at it again. Have a look at the lashon again. I'll read it again. Bet shamay amrim shlosha shel semer urivi'if shel tchelet. What are the words, the simple meaning of those words imply? Now the fourth one is completely tchelet, nechon? And this is the opinion of certain Rishonim, like the Ravad. What I'm looking at here now is the Reed, Rabbeinu Yeshayahu Ditrani, Piskei HaReed, and also the Riaz, Piskei HaRiaz. They both say, that, like as the Ravad says, that you need three white and one completely Techelet. I just wanted to see the exact source and quote it to you precisely. There is another Shita, a third Shita, which claims that you have two Lavan and two Techelet. That's how you make this it. Two Lavan and two Techelet. Rashi and the Tosafot say this. And the Reed here in Yichot Tisit, he also says so. Here on page Tal Pe Aleph, he says, Ikara Tisit hu shne chutim Lavan, yimina kanaf hu shne chutim Techelet. That's Nachon. Aruch HaShulchan mentioned this because that's what the Rashi and Tosafot say, and this is what the Tur writes. See, the Tur doesn't even go into it, for example. The Tur just says, use two and two. It doesn't even mention other Shitot. He doesn't discuss it Bichlal. In Yichot Tisit of the Reed, he says two and two, like Rashi and Tosafot. Unless, I'll double check, unless he changes his mind somewhere else. So in which case the Reed is following the Shita of Rashi. His grandson, the Riaz, who did not always blindly follow what his grandfather, the Reed, had to say, writes as follows. And he holds his seat towards the beginning, actually. He says, Hotim halalu hen miksatam lavan umksatam techelet. Of these strings that we use for tisit, some are white, some are techelet. Shenema, wunathanu, asisit hakanaf, petil techelet. So you have the tisit and you have the techelet. Sisit hakanav zeh mimin hakanav, in other words, usually it's from the same material as the beged itself, mimin hakanav, which is lavan. Why is it lavan? Because to dye clothing in ancient times was expensive. So most people wore undyed natural cloth in its natural form, natural color. So, and which the not natural color of wool, for example, is off-white. So it's called lavan. Sounds true, pishtan, it's also off-white, so it's called lavan. ואפילו אם היה בגד סבוע כולו תכלת, צבע בגד לא מעלה ולא מוריד, והרי הוא כאילו כולו לבן, ונותנים בו חוטי לבן. Well, that's another discussion, which we'll discuss another time, whether when you have a colored beggar, you're supposed to use different colors for the לבן or not. ורוב המפרשים, says the Riaz, אומרים שחציין הן חוטי לבן, וחציין חוטי תכלת, half-half, two-two. That's what we just said, Rashi, Tosafot, etc. The Torah says so. ורבינו משה, that's the Rambam, אומר שהשבעה הן חוטי לבן והאחד חוט תכלת. That of the eight, which is, as we said, seven white, one תכלת. ולא נראה, says the Riaz, this doesn't seem correct to me. It also is possible as a mistake here, it should say ולא נראה, but either way, he says שהשישה הן חוטי לבן והשניים חוטי תכלת. This is like the Ravad. And by the way, the Gra also holds by the Shita. The Gra says explicitly on this issue in his Pirush on the Sidur and in other places, Likutim of the Gra on the Sidur, etc. The Ikar is like the Ravad. In other words, three Lavan, one Tcheret, which means in the end six Lavan, two Tcheret. This is what the Riaz writes: Shashishan Chutei Lavan, Washnaim Chutei Tcheret, Kemuvah Bukuntres Arayot, as I have written in another a book where he explains his own psakim, why he was posek a certain way, which he called kuntres arayot, which unfortunately we don't have for ilchot sisit. Wechen mevu'ah besifrei, and this is what it says in the sifrei, and he's referring to this sifrei here. So you see that the Riaz understands that this sifrei means, indicates plainly three and one altogether tchelet, and that seems plain to me. That's clearly the pshat and the ikar of what is being said here. So we from this we understand the Riaz and the Ra'avad and the Grar, at least, are of the opinion that Shlosha Shel Semer Urvi'it Shel Tchelet means exactly what it says, and therefore you end up with six and two. Now, you have two pages in front of you, correct? Alright, so look at the bottom of the first page, the very bottom, the second to last line. It says, "Wanafanu al sisit hakanaf." Right, it says in the Pasuk, "Rasulahem sisit." Wasula and Sisit al Kanfevik Vahim, where do you put the Sisit on the Kanaf, which is the bottom corner? Wanafanu al Sisit Hakanaf, Pathir Techelet. So the question is now, where exactly do you put this Sisit? Where exactly does it go? The Sifre says, Wanafanu al Kanaf, Sisit Hakanaf, Lama Neymar, Rafishu Omer, Wasula and Sisit, Shomeani, Yargena Ima. When it says that you should make tzitzit in the bottom of the beged, maybe we understand that it has to be woven into the material. In other words, it has to be part of the weave. The strings have to come out of the garment, out of the material, and woven into the material itself. So it actually is made with the beged. Maybe that's how you would understand it. Maybe that would be correct. Tamud lamar v'nathanu. When it says v'nathanu, it means you place it on the beged after the beged's finished. In a sense, it says, "Unafanu ala kanaf." The tzitzit is placed on the beged once it's already there, once it's already finished. So the pasuk says, "Wa'asulahem tzitzit al kanfevig nehem unafanu al tzitzit hakanaf patil techeles." So we're talking about the tzitzit which is placed. So it's placed somehow; it has to be attached. In other words, you have a beged, and now you have to attach the tzitzit to the beged. Now the question is, how do you attach it? If I give you some strings, and I tell you, attach it to this piece of material in the corner, what would you do? What would be the most reasonable, logical, initial assumption you would make? How would you do it?
See the hole with the tighter
one? Sew it. If I tell you to do it, sewing is a fancy, advanced way of tying things. That's what sewing is. If I tell you to connect two bits of cloth, what's the strongest, and also, in many ways, the simplest way to do it is to sew them together. Look what it says in the Sifrei. Tamud lomar v'nathanu ha-kesav tofra ima. Tofir. So sew. What's tofra ima? This is very interesting. Tofra ima means that this is the end of the bigot here, somewhere here, let's say. You take the strings. We just said you have to be not 10. You place it on. You take the strings. You put them here, and you sew it on. Now you're going to ask, why don't we do that today? Well, I'll tell you. There's actually no reason not to do that today. In fact, to me, it makes a tremendous amount of sense to do that today as well. There's no reason not to. Why do people do otherwise? To a large extent, it has to do with being lazy, I think. In other words, there's another way to do it. What's the other way to do it? Make a hole and stick it through the hole. That's also a kind of sewing. When you sew, how do you sew? You make a hole. Who makes the hole? The needle makes the hole. If you don't make a big hole, you put your finger through. You make a small hole. You make a very small hole in the material with the thread, with the needle, and you pull it through. But you're making a hole. You're taking the thing, you're putting it through a hole and around, etc. So sewing and making a hole and putting it through is really the same thing. This is just a primitive way of sewing. Making a hole and putting it through is a primitive way of sewing. Now, from this, I think you understand even something else, even more interesting. It seems to me if you're going to make a hole, you should make two holes. Now, you may be aware of this. There are those who have two holes. I'm not saying this is not what I have here, but that's not the point. But this occurred to me afterwards. But But I'm saying it's nothing to do with this shital, recent group or that group. There's certain Hasidim have two holes, and I think that initially, years and years ago, I thought, I don't understand why two holes. Where do you get two holes from? But now I understand exactly where you get two holes. Two holes makes much more sense than one hole. I'll tell you why. If you have one hole, what do you have to do? You have to put it through here. I mean, it's all ripped up, so it's easy for me to show you. Right? This is a very old, ancient begot. You put it through here, right? And then you have to go from the hole. It has to come round. So you have the string sitting from the place of the hole down to the bottom before you can tie it. In other words, there's a whole section of string which is stunned. It's not doing anything, just sitting there because there's nothing else to do with it until it comes down to the bottom of the begot, and then you can begin tying. Then you make a knot, a double knot, whatever you do. Nachon? So that you end up with a string, the tzitziot, coming on either side, hanging down with no particular purpose, and then you begin making a tzitzit. So this is actually extra tzitzit, which you don't really need. How do you get around that and make it, I think, even more reasonable, logical? You do it, and it's a primitive way of sewing again. You make two holes next to each other, and you put it through one and round to the other, and then you tie immediately. And then you don't have string, stump, sitting on either side of the cloth of the material stump without any purpose. The tzitzit begins, or you begin tying, and the actual tzitzit begins immediately there, once it comes to the second hole. So really, two holes is also basically sewing. Everyone knows, how do you sew? You can't sew with making one hole. You have to come up again. If you go down, you have to come up. Uh-huh. So the minimum of sewing is two holes. Now, there's one, and coming down with the needle, and up again with the needle. Uh-huh. That's the minimal amount of sewing you can do for anything to remain in place. So basically, two holes is a primitive kind of tfira, of sewing. And if you can be bothered to actually sew it on, to take the tzitzit, you don't need to have a hole, Betzim. There's no chovah to have a hole in the beged. You have to attach the strings to the beged somehow. You can either sew it on, or you can make a hole or two holes and put it through, which is also a kind of sewing. Okay? That's, and what we see from the sifre here is that the apparently more original, more ancient way of doing it was actually to sew it on. And I've no doubt that's not only is it kasher, it's maybe even nicer in some ways to do that also today. You had a question, I thought.
So can you just tie it around tie a knot around the corner of the bed?
I'm not sure that's... I understand what you're asking. Like, you sort of bunch up the cloth in the corner. I don't know if that's acceptable for a number of reasons. First of all, in many situations, if you pull hard enough, it will come off. It's not maybe permanent enough. It's not much stuck on. It's not much not attached fully. And here you see it says, it doesn't say koshra. It doesn't say tied. It says tofra, you know. Tofra is something more permanent which stays. Also something which you go through a hole also stays. More for a greater length of time.
No, just to put it there, not to
it's supposed to be not so permanent. Well, if you're saying maybe, but the Sifre says tells me otherwise. The Sifre says tofra ima. So my conclusion from this is you can do three things. You can sew it mamash, which we'll discuss maybe later another time. How would you sew it exactly? How would you do it? But you can sew it on mamash. You can use one hole, or you can use two holes. Any of these ways is acceptable, and it doesn't make any difference. Halakhically, they're all acceptable. So now I think it's really a question of what you prefer. And to me, if you're going to use holes, it seems to me two makes more sense than one. So if I make it bigger tomorrow, I probably would order it or have it made or whatever with two holes rather than one. Seems to me a very logical, reasonable thing to do, rather than have this going through one and coming through both sides of the hole and then having to have a section of it on the bigger just sitting there until I can get to a point where I can tie it or something like that. It doesn't seem the ideal way to me. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. If there are any questions, Bakasha.
I was wondering about Techelet. Was the Techelet actually found today in our day, or is it still a question?
Techelet was always there, like many things. It was always there, but we didn't know it was there. It's not that some new creature was discovered. The ancient science and knowledge of dyeing fabrics, particularly wool, with a dye which is produced from certain sea mollusks is an art, an ancient art that was once known throughout the ancient world and was lost, was forgotten. Like many things were forgotten. It has to do with the fact that the Roman Empire came to an end more or less when the German barbarians invaded and the Roman Empire collapsed. They didn't care much for the finer things of life, the German barbarians. They took the money, and that was the main thing. Wherever they could, anything made of gold and silver, they took. Knowledge about how to die, no, that's not the first thing on the agenda. Pillage, rape, and destruction is much more important than knowing how to dye fine fabrics with beautiful colors that last, which is a rare thing. You have to understand, dyeing in the ancient world is not like today. Today, for 2 cents, you can dye almost anything, almost any color, and the dye that is permanent for all practical purposes. It'll last, 200 washings. Okay, it won't fade. In the ancient world, there are very few kinds of dyes that didn't fade almost immediately. The only permanent dyes were these dyes. That's also why they were so sought after, and they were very expensive. Because the other dyes came from vegetable origin, and they don't last.
So the Techelet that's sold today, is that the truth of Techelet
This is another discussion, but in brief, there are two kinds of Techelet being sold today. There are two kinds out there that I'm aware of. Well, there's the kind known as the Radzim Techelet, and there's the kind known as the Rav Tevge, or Efrat Techelet, or I don't know what else to call it exactly. Of those two kinds, I believe the so-called Efrat Rav Tevge Techelet. Rav Tevge is one of the first person really sort of practically figured out how to go about doing it. Here's an example, Vakasha, very nice. I have an example right in front of you. This is the real, I think it's the real McCoy. This is the real deal, so I believe. And I think many people believe this to be true. And there may be those who think otherwise. That's also fine. As the Rambam writes to one of us, to someone who asks him a question on a certain issue, he says, my opinion is X, such and such. And yes, there are others who think otherwise. And Amichel Bedato, let him think what he wants to think. Don't worry about it too much. You asked me, I told you what I think. Don't tell me there are others who think otherwise. I know there are others who think otherwise. And that's not even worth arguing about, because either they'll accept it. You say it once, and that's enough. If they want to hear the truth, they'll accept the truth. And if they don't, they don't.
Is there an issue of how close or how far away this hole or these holes?
Yes, there is an issue. There is an issue. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Here in this case, for example, you see it ripped all the way down to the bottom. And as we will learn, it should be higher up. But if after you did it in the right place, it got ripped and went and pulled down to the bottom, it's still kosher. Okay, that's why you see it's down here. As long as it hasn't ripped three altogether, it's still okay. But so that, we'll stop here for today. Zav Hashem, we'll carry on, we'll continue next week.